chapter number 11 tonight. Down in verse number 11, the Bible says, "These things said he," that is Jesus. "After that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly," boy, it's about as plain as it gets, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Father, I thank you for the good word of God. Lord, I pray you'll open our eyes to your master in ministry in this great portion of Scripture. Lord, I ask you to quicken us according to your loving kindness. I thank you for the breath of heaven that's already breathed upon this service, for the depth of what you've done in hearts and lives tonight. And we're eternally grateful and thankful for that. Thank you, God, for raising up Lanham Independent Baptist Church as a lighthouse to this generation. Lord, I pray you bless Brother Shane, his family, and keep the work strong and going forth in the power of God. Lord, we submit our souls to you tonight. We ask you to minister to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Preaching tonight on the subject of Jesus mastering death. Jesus mastering death. Now, death in the Bible is called the last enemy. And it is an enemy that's against every one of us. Truly, death was inflicted many and all of the inhabitants of the earth. This a universal thing, no matter where you go. Every hamlet, every village, every tribe, out of every kindred, out of every tongue and language, everywhere you go. I travel around the world and often I'll get a picture of a graveyard in whatever country I'm in. Graveyards everywhere, and that graveyard testifies that God is so. The day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. Man's never been able to stop death. He's never been able to hinder it. He's never been able to conquer it. But thank God I know one who is the master over death. Now, death's dealt with in a lot of different ways. Some folk try to ignore it. Some folk don't want to hear anything about it. But other folk look it right in the eye and say, you know, I need some help, because I'm going to have to face it. It's a 100% chance that every one of us are going to die. And if the rapture don't take place and take us out of here, and even in that moment, the twinkle of an eye, we'll pass through that gate of life and death and a resurrection, and the believer goes through it in a slow mode when he goes down the dark corridors of death and the grave and all of that. But we'll all have to face death. And I want to ask you this, do you know Jesus as the master over death? Now, we read in this scripture that Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus had died. Jesus said about Lazarus plainly that he is dead. Martha went out to meet the Lord, and Mary was pouting. She was sitting in the house until Martha came back and encouraged her to come out of the shadows of her sulking darkness. And she said unto her sister secretly, "The Master is come." Hallelujah. Yeah, death had visited, death had come, death had done its dastardly deed of work. But thank God the Master is now come. And Jesus was about to show the world and men of all ages and all times that He is the Master over death. Now there are several kinds of deaths in the Word of God. First of all, there is spiritual death. Then there is a practical death whereby we die to ourselves and live unto God. There is a judicial death. Some men are twice dead, reprobates, plucked up by the roots. There is a physical death. And then there is an eternal death in the lake of fire. And I want to say that Jesus is the Master over them all. Amen. Now I ought to look at this situation of Him mastering as the Master Minister over death. Look first of all at this in the light of a spiritual death. A spiritual death. Now the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, "And you at the quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And for every true doctrine in the Word of God, you're going to find illustrations throughout the Bible for it. That's why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. There's two raptures in the Bible. One of them is Enoch. He was raptured out before the flood came. And then there was Elijah. He was raptured out before the captivity came. And we find two great illustrations of that. In any true doctrine, you're going to find illustrations through the Word of God. And when God said in Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, "And you at the quickened who were dead," He meant that we were dead spiritually. Now, you know, and I know that there have been independent Baptist preachers that have said dead don't mean dead. Oh my. Well, plain language is easy understood, as my old grandpa used to say, and dead means dead. And when the Lord came to illustrate how men are dead in trespasses and sin, He used a fellow that was 4 days dead. Yeah, graveyard dead. Yeah, being eaten of the worms. And when God raised him, the worms had to regurgitate what they had chewed up. I mean, you're talking about dead. He was dead. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Right. And so the first point of this is Lazarus is dead. The disciples wasn't getting this. They thought he was taking rest and sleeping and all that. And there's a lot of theologians think that man's soul is just sleeping and laying around. He's snoring a little bit. You shake him and he'll just wake up and then he can make his own decision and this, that, and the other. And his will's free to do whatever. But the Lord said Lazarus is dead. The gravestone is rolled up. Right. His sister says, "By this time he stinketh." You go back to Genesis chapter number 2, and the Bible says, "The day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely, surely, surely die." Not just die, but surely die. Oh, yeah. The Bible says, in the last days, they'd be preaching doctrines of devils. Right. And I've often thought, what would the devil preach if he preaches? Well, the devil's a preacher. Transforming himself into an angel of light. He had preached pride and arrogance. "I will ascend, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." He preaches his own will and arrogance and pride. But then you go back to Genesis chapter number 2 and chapter number 3 and you find out what the devil does preach. First message he preached was, "Ye shall not surely die." You're not going to die. You won't surely die. And Satan has argued that point down through the years. But you know what? Man did surely die. They didn't die physically at that moment, but the eyes of their boat were open and they saw they were naked and they lost something that they did not have, that they had before, and they were totally void of it. It was gone, just like a man who has life in his body, and then when his life leaves, that life is gone and he becomes a corpse. That innocency, that glory, that coat of light that they had, it disappeared the moment that they transgressed and trespassed against Almighty God. They lost something spiritual, and that was the image of God. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2 and 13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh." The Bible says in Romans chapter number 6 and 23, "The wages of sin is death." And you wonder why sinners don't respond just in and of themselves. Well, if anybody had 1.5 sins, who wants to go to hell? This ACDC crowd's the only bunch I ever know that won't sing about hell, want to go to hell. I never did want to go to hell.
Right.
And you think it's such a good message, everybody just lay hold on it, they just latch hold of it. But they don't. The reason being, they're dead. Reformation won't help a dead man. You can take an old drunk, bring him into the funeral home, shave him, and fill his body full of formaldehyde, jerk all the alcohol out of his blood and all the rest of it, and you can put makeup on him and wash his hair and comb him and lay him in a beautiful casket and all that, and you can reform him. Don't help him. He's still dead.
Right.
Education don't help him. Boy, you can give an honorary doctorate degree to a man that is dead, and that don't help him. Amen.
That's right.
You can give religion to a man that's dead, but that don't help him either. And most dead folk get religion. They come on over to the church house. They'll call a preacher. They'll get religion, but religion don't help you. And you know, the Bible says that Lazarus was sick, and his sister said, "Lord, come, he's sick." But as long as you think you're just sick, he's not going to move toward you. He just stayed right where he was at until they and he understood it was dead. Graveyard dead. No life in it whatsoever. And I want to say, my friend, that all sin is death. Whether it be alcoholism, adultery, fornication, rebellion, cussing, religion, whatever it might be. And the Bible says in Romans 5, 6 that we were yet without strength. And a dead man is without strength. He may have been a muscle builder and all that, but when he dies, he has no strength. Ephesians 4:18 says we were alienated from the life of God.
Right, yeah.
Though we have physical life and we breathe physically, there is no spiritual life in a lost man. It said Lazarus is dead.
Amen.
For these theologians just to say, well, you're really not dead spiritually. You're just sort of in a slumber and in a sleep, and you're really not. It just means you're a little bit separated from God, and you can come to God anytime you want to. Lazarus is dead. And he didn't come crawling out of there on his hands and knees by his own effort, nor by his own ability, nor by his own strength. Lazarus is dead. He's dark. He's gone. He's decayed. It's over with. There's no hope for Lazarus. So I don't have any hope for my loved ones. I don't have any hope for them either in their dead state. But then secondly, I see loved ones are disturbed. Verse number 3, the sisters got tore up about him. He whom thou lovest, he's sick. He whom thou lovest, he's in trouble. Lord, would you come and help us? My brother has died. If you'd been here, he had not died. And boy, they begin to call on the Lord. And you know, everybody that Jesus raised from the dead in his earthly ministry had loved ones that were disturbed. The people that were dead, they weren't disturbed. But those that were raised from the dead had people that were disturbed. There you had Jairus' daughter, 12 years old. And Jairus was disturbed, tore up about her, come hunting Jesus, calling on his name. We read in Luke chapter number 7 and verse 11, a young man is in the casket and they're carrying him toward the graveyard, and his mama's weeping and crying, and the Lord stopped the casket and said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she was burdened and tore up about him. The Bible tells us, my friend, how that Lazarus was there in the grave, but his sisters were burdened for him. And you know what? The church needs to realize there's a lot more responsibility on us than we've ever thought about. The Bible says when Zion travails, she brings forth sons and daughters. And when we get concerned about sinners, the Lord will start saving and birthing folk into the family of God. Paul said to the Galatians, my little children of whom I travail in birth. And just like a mother goes through that travail and that agony over that child to bring it into this world, so the church has to get in travail. I've been in a few real revivals down through these years. And every time you have a revival, when God's people get stirred up and filled up, and when their hearts get burdened for sinners, and they get that name on the old-fashioned prayer altar and begin to call on God and get disturbed about it and start witnessing to them, the first thing you know, God will visit their hearts, God will convict them of their sin, and the Lord will begin to save by His divine grace. That's the process of this thing. Then we see number three, linger in doubt. Look in verse 20 and 21. Martha said, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Boy, if you could have got to him earlier. If you'd have got to him in days gone by. If we could have got him whenever he was young, there might be some hope. A lot of folk live in the past, and they think, boy, if I could just rewind this thing and I could go back, then maybe God could do something. And then in verse 23 and 24, she jumps into the future. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, oh yeah, I know he'll rise in the resurrection of the last day. She believed in the resurrection of the last day. Yeah, out yonder in the future, I know you're going to do something for him. There she was, living in the past, then jumping over into the future. But the Lord said, hold it, hold it, hold it. I am the resurrection and the life. Right now I am, I can, and I will prove to you that I am the very life of God itself, and I am the resurrection and the life. I'm glad, praise God, Jesus is not a past relic in the history book somewhere. We're not studying about some ancient historical Jesus out of some monastery somewhere. Thank God we're talking about the I am that I am. Who do you think's passed through this service tonight? Who do you think's breathed upon us? The resurrection and the life. It's the life of God. It's the God of life that is breathed through here. And once in a while, he don't have to, but once in a while, he just reaches down and breathes. He's honest. I'm still around. I'm still around. He'll open up a keg of the sweet roses, share, and he'll throw the fragrance out there, and we'll know that Jesus is passing by. Hallelujah. Boy, he's going to master this lingering doubt. But then I look also at lurking decay. Look in verse number 39. Boy, this thing is getting more hopeless all the time. And Martha said, as Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Oh, my. There's no hope now. Lingering decay. He's been chewing on him, eating on him. There's no hope now. Let's just close it up and have a service and go to the house. And Jesus said, no, you roll the stone away. Glory to God, I want to say that folk are dead. It don't matter if they're 12 years old and their corpse is still warm, or whether they're a young man stiff and being carried out in a casket, or whether they've already been put in the hole and the gravestone's been rolled up in front of it. Dead is dead. But my friend, I want to say that Jesus can deal with those even with a lot of decay. Now, the 12-year-old didn't have that decay setting in. The young boy's probably smelling a little bit. Lazarus was stinking. And the older you are and the more you've sinned, you've treasured up wrath against the day of wrath, and you got a mountain of stench and wickedness and ungodliness that has been laid on your soul, and it stinks in the nostrils of Almighty God. But I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, it don't matter how bad and how decayed and how dirty and how defiled, our God is able to conquer death because he is the master. Hallelujah. Everybody would have given up on Legion. 1,000 devils in counting. Breaking the bands asunder, bending the bars, a terror to the community and everywhere else, loco, crazy, cutting himself, crying all night long. Everybody give up on him, but the master came. Hallelujah. Cast the devil out. Some of you may have given up on loved ones and thought, boy, I just might as well quit praying. There's no hope for them. Seem like they just get worse and worse. They're smelling and stinking by now. Well, I'm going to tell you, thank God, old man decay, old rot, stench is nothing in the sight of Almighty God. He's able to conquer it all. Hallelujah. Woo! I want you to look down there what the Lord said. In verse number 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And every eye's looking. And there's a shake. There's a rumble. And there's a change. Praise God, that fellow that's mummified and anchored down in that grave, he came forth. I don't know if he's a walking or a floating or what, but he came to the mouth of that grave.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Somebody, I don't know. I'd like to seen the fellow that did this. I really would. I'd like to seen the guy that reached up there and pulled that mask off his face because that rammed them spices down his goose and put a mask over his face and mummified. I'd like to seen the man that pulled that mask off his face and seen Lazarus go, phew, 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 and spit them spices out. Say, loose me, man, loose me, man. And they cut loose his arm. You reckon he just said, well, it's good to be alive. Woo-hoo-hoo, this one's free. This arm's free. Praise God, he cut his legs and his legs is free. I see Lazarus come out of there hitting his knees. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be in the land of the living as he's freed now and out of the bondage of the grave. Glory to God. Lazarus lived. And it was one word from the master. Come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Oh, atheist is in a service where God's preaching on that and said, well, if he was God, all he'd had to say was come forth. And the old fella said, well, if he hadn't called him by name, my whole graveyard would have got up. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Salvation is just like this resurrection. Yeah, I was religious. I was in church. I sat back there on the back. I went to the old gospel tent and all that for this, that, and the other reasons. But that Wednesday night, while old Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. is preaching along, I lost touch with what he said. Because there's somebody else moved in under that tent. And he said, Randy, come forth. And I was more ready to get in that altar than they were for me to get in the altar. I bowed down there weeping and crying, calling on God, asking to be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord saved my soul by the grace of God, and the divine life of heaven flooded my heart. And the Lord redeemed me by his mercy and his good grace. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't been perfect, but I do know this. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And the life of God that was alienated from me is in me. And now what's going on in this service doesn't scare me. Because the life of God in me fellowships with the life of God in you, which has a relationship with the God of life and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Deep cries out unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, the psalmist said. Lazarus is alive. He's alive. He's alive. Lazarus, sit down here, son. Tell me, how did you make it out of that grave, boy? Oh, I grunted and I groaned and I moaned. And boy, I crawled. And I decided I was going to find Jesus one day. And I was going, no. How'd you come out of that? All I can say is he called me by name. He gave me ears to hear because my ears were dead. But he opened up the hearing of my ears. Hallelujah. I can't stand a gospel that preaches this story like this. Oh, they went in there and wrapped a rope around his neck and drug him out. And in their story, oh, that was a great miracle. Now, he never breathes, he never lives, he never eats, he never does anything. But we got him out of the tomb and we got him signed up, so that was our resurrection. And there's a lot of dead folks sitting on a pew that they've just had a rope thrown around their neck and drug out of this and drug into that, and they don't have any life of God in them whatsoever. Oh, glory to God. When they loosed him, he was let go. Amen. And you know what? In the Lord's deliverance, the next time you see Lazarus, you know what he's doing? He's sitting across the table from Jesus, and you know what he's doing? He's eating. And do you know why he's eating? Because he's got life in him. And wherever there's life, there's going to be appetite. There's going to be desire. And there's going to be longing. Your baby comes into this world, you don't have to teach them to cry when they're hungry. You don't have to tell them that little pinch in their stomach sets off the dinner bell. They come in this world hungry. Rebecca's got four little old boys, and they're eating her out of house and home. And you know why? That life of God just bubbling up in them. And that life of God in their being that God gave them says, I want to eat, I want to eat, I want to eat, I want to eat. Woo! There wasn't nobody had to bribe you to come over here to the house of God. There was an appetite in you that pulled you to want to come to the house of God. Slide your feet under the table. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, you learn to eat from the precious Word of God. Eat from the sincere milk of the Word and the divine meat of the Word of God. Oh, Lazarus is eating, and boy, he's getting stronger and stronger. And history tells us, not the Bible, but history tells us that later after Jesus died and rose from the dead and Pentecost and all that, and God sent him into all the world, history tells us that Lazarus went all the way from Jerusalem up into northern Scotland among all the Celts and the Vikings and all of that bunch and carried the gospel as the first man and made his rounds all the way back down, and he died a natural death in his old age right there in Bethany. When God loosed him, he let him go. And he can't go without going. And old Lazarus had to go in him. And I just believe when you get saved by the grace of God, you'll have the go in you. Has Jesus mastered your spiritual death? Lazarus couldn't master it. Death brought him down. But the life of God brought him up. And if he's calling you by name, and by the way, he called him by name. My sheep I call by name. They hear my voice. They get up. Amen. Oh, glory to God when he calls our name. Listen, the worship and the praise went to God in verse 40 through verse 45. Many of them that saw it believed because of his testimony and what God did for him. It was an overflow to others. And God stirred their souls. And then the enemy rose up and said, you know, if this thing gets out, this is a notable miracle. Wow, the whole world's going to believe on him. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to kill Lazarus and kill Jesus too. You're talking about steep, wicked, ungodly bunch. Just seeing a resurrection like that and then wanting to kill Lazarus and wanting to kill Jesus too. That's the hardness of heart, the deadness, the sinner's spiritual death. I won't say Jesus is master over physical death. Glory be to God. One of these days, thank God, buried my daddy about a year ago, this time last year. My old mom, she's coming down her last rows of her life. Won't be long till her old corpse will be laying there beside my dad's, but it'll just be the shell that they've used through this life. Yes, sir. You rode in a vehicle here, and you got out of that vehicle, and you came in this building. You're looking at me physically, but all you're seeing is my vehicle. I'm like one of those cars that's got these dark tinted windows that's coming down the road. You know there's somebody in there, but you just can't see them. Amen. One of these days, the car's going to park. They're going to plant this old corpse in the graveyard. And I'm going to go to be with the Lord in that moment. I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'll cross over on the other side. My mama asked me 100 times, what kind of body do you have when you leave this world? I said, well, I don't know, but I do know this. It'll be likened unto the Lord, and it'll be a glorious body, because that disciple John got a word from one of his fellow servants, started to worship him because he's so much like Jesus. He said, no, see, thou do it not. I'm one of your fellow servants, and we're going to have something like Jesus. You're not going to be floating around. There's a drop of rain or a puff of smoke somewhere. You are going to have a body. And the souls of them that were under the altar had a voice, and they cried, how long, O Lord, how long? Righteous and true. And they're praying and calling on God, and they're worshiping the Lord over on the other side. Then one day, hallelujah, the Father's going to say to the Son, it is time. It is time. And he's going to come to the clouds, and the trump of God is going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Their old physical bodies are going to rise, and they're going to be reunited with that body. And I don't know where all the particles and all that is. They may be blown up in a ship on the sea somewhere or eaten by a crocodile. I don't know. They may be scattered along the hillside, gobbled down by some bear. But God knows where every particle and every particle and every bit of the DNA and all the rest of it is. And when he sounds, praise God, there's going to come a rushing and a coming together, and their soul and spirit's going to be reunited with that glorified body, and you and I are going to be changed in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye, and death's going to be swallowed up in victory. We're going to be changed. This corruptible put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality, and we're going to go home to be with the Lord. And the reason that's going to happen is we're not regular corn, we're popcorn. Regular corn, you put it in a pan and put a little butter on it and cook it, and it just melts down. You put popcorn in there with a little bit of butter and put the lid on it and put some heat on it, and in the stillness of that hour, praise God, that heat hits that popcorn, and you hear ping, pop, pow, poo, pop, pop, ping, pow, pop, pop. And then when you pull the lid off of it, you look, and that old popcorn, that wasn't much to it. Now it's 4 times its size. It's turned inside out. It's white as snow, and it's more glorious than it's ever been. And they tell me the reason popcorn pops is because it's got a little morsel of water down on the inside of it, and it cooks and steams it, and it blows it inside out. Well, John tells us in 1 John that we have a seed of God within us that cannot sin. And hallelujah, when that trumpet sounds, it's going to be like God putting fire under his saints, and the popcorn's going to go to popping. Hallelujah. And what's on the inside is going to come to the outside. Hallelujah. I'll have a white robe to wear. I'll be more glorious than ever. I'll be like unto him. And we'll say Jesus has conquered and mastered death. And one day he's going to cast death and hell into the lake of fire. And we're going to a country where there'll be no more dying. There'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more separation. There'll be no more graveyard. There'll be no more funeral parlors. There'll be no more undertakers, thank God. Because he is the Prince of Life. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Oh, graveyard. There you lay, quiet and cold. One of these days, out on the cloud, the Master will come. And he'll call all his children home. And just like Lazarus come out of that grave, praise God, there's coming a resurrection day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because he is the master even over death. And we know, because thank God on that Sunday morning, up from the grave he arose. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he is the first fruits of those that will rise. And he proved the resurrection in his own resurrection. And thank God he kicked the teeth out of death and hell. And one of these days we're going to see God's divine resurrection for us physically. I want to ask you this. Are you saved by the grace of God? Does the life of God dwell in you, or are you an alien from the life of God? Is God calling your name? If he is, come. Have hope, child of God. One of these days, our Lord's going to come. What a day that will be. when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face and I thank the master over death for his amazing and marvelous grace. Hallelujah. What a hope. What a hope. Our hope is in him who is the resurrection and the life. Let's bow our heads and hearts.